the bar, stomp your feet, start clapping. Got a real good feeling, something bad about to happen.
Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Here's Jessica Blaylock, Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, and Blythe Brumleave.
This is Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. Like you heard us just mention, we're going to get into a lot of football tonight. But first off, ladies, we've got some pretty cool events coming up for women that we once again want to tell everyone about. One is in just a few days, the Football 101. Lauren, I know you got some great information on that event because you're going to be co-hosting.
Yes, I will be co-emceeing. And one of my favorite things that happened when I told someone that I was co-emceeing in a text, because I spelled out MC, they said, "What is that? what are you doing?" So basically, we'll be introducing the coaches and the players, and the ladies get to have drinks and appetizers. There's a silent auction. There's a raffle. The band Be Easy, whom if you go anywhere in Jacksonville, you'll hear the band Be Easy at some point.
Love
They're all
them.
Over the place. They're fantastic. Yeah, I've seen them several times. So they'll be playing Thursday night as well. It's from 6:30 to 9. Doors open at 5:30. The event runs from 6:30 to 9. And ladies only, by the way, can get tickets at jaguars.com/2014NFL101.
I think one of the coolest things about this event is that it really is a football 101 knowledge-based event where you're going to be able to ask questions. And now I'm in kind of a cool position because obviously I'm the Jaguars beat reporter for our radio station. So I get to come down here and I get to ask us questions every couple of days. I get to talk to the players in the locker room. I get to run into Dave Caldwell in the hall. First off, just recap real quick, Lauren, some of the people that are going to be there Thursday night. Because there is, you talk about a red carpet list, it's pretty phenomenal on Thursday. You've got what, Gus and Michaela Bradley.
Absolutely. And then there's some players, like Zane Beatles will be one of them. Clay
Toby
Harbor,
Gerhart.
Toby Gerhart. And then a lot of the line coaches too, or the offensive defensive coordinators as well. Jed Fish, Bob Babich, Todd Wash, I know will be there as well. So star-studded event, basically. It's gonna be a blast. I talked to someone who went last year. She said she still has her notebook from the Football 101 and the X's and O's part of it, because it really is a good teaching time for the coaches. And Blythe over there is so excited. Blythe, have you been to one before? You said you have, right?
I have. Actually, last year I was lucky enough to be able to write the part of the 101 guide for the event that's going on. They're going to be using the same book for this year.
Nice.
But I've gone every single year ever since they used to have them at like Maggiano's and little remote places. There was even one a few years back where they had one on the field, and that one was a ton of fun. I hope they do that again. But the 101 event last year was a ton of fun. It's just really good, the camaraderie that everybody goes, and there's a ton of gift baskets and stuff that are just on sale, and vendors that you can talk with, and obviously the players, and getting up close and personal with them is really a great experience.
So what would you ladies ask? Like I said, I mean, I get to ask questions all week long. If you had access, Donna, to Gus Bradley and Mikhail Bradley and these scouts and these players, what would you want to know? What are some things that you would ask?
One question that I would ask Coach Bradley would be, I know that being a fan and watching the game, sometimes we get frustrated with a play call, whether it be offense or defense. Truly, who should we be frustrated with more? Should we be frustrated with the coordinator, or does that land on you?
Ooh, I like that.
That would be my question.
I like that. Well, and a perfect example that just came up this past weekend were the challenges. And we just talked about this earlier today. You know, Gus is always going to take a final responsibility with himself. We know that. He's not going to throw a coordinator under the bus. He's not going to throw a player under the bus. It's always going to come back to him as the head coach. And it's very admirable. But you know he's getting information from up in the booth, guys that are watching replays and so forth. But I like that question. What about you, Blythe?
I think I would ask, especially after a rough start for the team, I would ask what do they do to even relax from the game, just to decompress? And I know if I have a bad day at work, I can't sleep that night. So I can't imagine what these guys are going through and how they kind of just mentally refocus each
I know
and
the
every
answer.
Week. Uh-oh.
They listen to Helmets and Heels.
Obviously.
I was going to say, what, they shoplift at Dillard's?
which we might touch on later in the show. Are you serious? But more about this event, Lauren, how excited are you to be involved with it? I mean, that's a big deal. You get to co-MC this event with JP Shadrick, who, unfortunately, Josh Scobie's not here tonight, so he can't do another fantastic impression of JP. But it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is. Actually, as I was driving here, I was kind of practicing my introductions. And if you'd like a preview, it went something like, ladies, because it's obviously not ladies and gentlemen, ladies, I am privileged to introduce to you the head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars, one of the most positive people I know, Paul Casey, Gus Bradley. But I got to run that by to make sure I'm allowed to get all of those names in there. No, I'm really excited. I think, I mean, at Cleats and Cocktails that we had the privilege of going to, Jessica and Blythe, I know you were there too. It was just such a fun event. I mean, Michaela is so energetic, and the ladies are all so excited because I think we, you know, women as a whole, we kind of get to be the cheering fans, but we don't get to ask some of those questions, like you said, because we don't want to look stupid. Well, this is an event where you get to have absolutely no fear that anyone's going to judge you, whether you want to ask about the challenges or you want to ask about running backs. You know, you get to ask whatever you want, and you get to have drinks and socialize. And I mean, how much more fun does it get?
Yeah, it's really going to be incredible. And I mean, we mentioned Gus Bradley being a rock star, and he'll be there, but Michaela Bradley is incredible. She's going to be talking to, we've had her on the show a couple of times. She's phenomenal. So this really is going to be a fun event. And guys who may be listening, this would be a great gift to get for your wife or for your daughter or a brother to get it for your sister or something like that. I think that there are women who want to go, but maybe even are a little bit intimidated of stepping out of that comfort zone and saying, hey, this is something that I kind of want to do and I'm interested in, but I'm not sure about. Go ahead and make the decision. Buy the ticket for them. Lauren, can you give me the website one more time?
Absolutely. And one quick addition, too, is if you're already a Jaguars Women's Club member, it's only $75. For everyone else, it is $100. So if you are, you know, a club member, then you do get a little bit of a discount. And it's jaguars.com/2014NFL101. One more time. That is jaguars.com/2014NFL101. You can also pretty much just Google it and you can find it. So if that's too many letters and numbers, which sometimes it is for me.
Go to jaguars.com and you'll be able to find the information. But the Football 101 coming up on Thursday is not the only cool event that's taking place for women. Donna, I know that you're actually signed up for a mom's clinic, basically, that's going to kind of go over some of the safety aspects of the game that's coming up this Tuesday.
Yeah, we obviously are privileged to get all the press releases right away and everything that pops up, you know, about what the team's doing and whatnot. And I got this, and the second I saw it, I clicked on the link, I signed up, and I sent it to you guys. I said, I just signed up, I'm ready to go. It is Mom's Football Safety Clinic, and it happens to be next Tuesday, 5 to 8. So I will try to duck out and get here, obviously. But it's
more.
Are you
going to come in a helmet?
I will try my best. I will see. But Michaela Bradley will be there, along with the Heads Up Football. And we know that the USA Heads Up Football program is all about teaching the proper techniques of specially tackling and everything that young kids should be doing. Now, granted, my son is only 2, so I'm not looking to get him into the sport yet, but it's going to be great because, I mean, they're teaching you everything from the education of the proper equipment attire to heat and hydration, everything like that. And then you get to practice the heads up tackling and other football drills.
And that's really why you're going.
Well, of course. No, specifically says mom should wear athletic attire. I'm like, I'm there. So no heels for me next Tuesday. But I'm really excited. You know, Michaela Bradley, we know how athletic and involved in she gets up, what, 5?
To teach. Yeah, the aerobics class or whatever it is.
So I'm really excited to be a part of this, you know. And so hopefully I can take some knowledge, you know, in the future when little man wants to get into it. But it's awesome. I'm excited to see what they, you know, can teach us.
Is this a bring your child event or not bring your child event?
It's a mom's event.
Mom's event. Okay.
Mom's event.
It's almost like a girls' night out event.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, basically. If anybody, it said, you know, the first 250 moms that register have the opportunity to hear from all the medical experts and everything like that. And if you need any information, it's too many.
It is.
//. So yeah. I would just Google Jaguars Moms Clinic.
That's how I found it. Yeah. Because there's a lot of words in that one.
Yeah. Jaguars Mom Clinic. It's next Tuesday from 5 to 8. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Nice. And we might even.
And it's right here.
We might even. Yeah. It's down here at the stadium. So yep. We might even try and sneak in for a few minutes beforehand and end up talking about the event next week.
I love tackling.
But but what I think is one of the coolest.
Don't blindside me.
You're just going to see Lauren come out of nowhere and take you out. I think one of the coolest aspects of something like that, I mean, just a few weeks ago, we talked about concussions in the NFL and we heard from so many players and things that Will Blackman talked about and Cecil Shorts talked about was the importance of learning the right way to play the game and learning at a young age the proper way to tackle and the proper way to lower your shoulder and things like that. And that's really what helps prevent injuries and so forth. So I think for moms, it's just a cool kind of way to see how the game is played and to walk away feeling a little bit better about letting your child play football at an early age.
Yeah, and the majority of parents out there, the fathers, I would say, would want to not push their, you know, sons, but are happy to let their sons go into football. Where obviously the moms are a little bit more skeptical, and we want to look at everything and we want to analyze everything. Well, what happens if this happens? You know, what happens with this tackle? And what if they get hurt? And what do we do with this? So this is what it's great to put moms at ease, like you said, to give them more knowledge so that we can go into this, you know, football sport experience with them as well.
So the wives can say to their husbands, he is playing football, but I'm going to show you
how it's properly done. I've always said, if you want something done, ask a man. If you want something done right, ask a woman.
That's why you wear the heels in the
family.
I should
put that on a bumper sticker and sell it. No, that's never mind. We're going to talk about some pleasant surprises with this team, some of our biggest disappointments so far this season. But I do want to touch on the game this past Sunday real quick, ladies. The Jaguars dropped to 0-6 after falling to the Titans by a final of 16-14. And an incredibly exciting game, especially towards the end. Blake Bortles connects with Clay Harbor late. We recover the onside kick, an opportunity for Scobie to attempt a 55-yard field goal. Obviously, it got blocked. Jaguars come out with a loss. But I think all the talk of this game was, once again, Blake Bortles. He had no run game to work with whatsoever, and Bortles ended up throwing for 336 yards, one touchdown, again, that one interception. But just, again, Blythe, the continued development of the rookie. Is that what you took away from this past Sunday?
That was it. He is far and away the best player on the team. And if this front office has hit on one player, they've hit on the best player that was in the draft. But far and away. I read somewhere that he completed, you know, two out of three of his passes, 71% accuracy rate on third downs, which is huge for us.
Yeah, because that's an area the Jaguars have really struggled in the past few seasons, is converting third downs.
And he was the fourth best quarterback in the league last week, which is saying a lot. And that's a big improvement for a team that's struggled to hit on a quarterback in a while.
And Donna, following the Patriots, obviously a fantastic quarterback in Tom Brady, you know for sure that, well, but that a good quarterback can cover up a lot of mistakes. I mean, one thing that I've always said about Wes Welker is Wes Welker, as good as he is because he's had quarterbacks like Tom Brady and now Peyton Manning throwing to him. I mean, a good quarterback can make receivers look better, can make an offensive line look better. You can cover up a lot of mistakes with a good quarterback, and it looks like that's what the Jags are getting each and every week, is a quarterback who's continually taking steps forward.
I mean, it's so impressive what Brady did in the early years with, you know, non-existent players is what you can call them, because nobody knew them unless you're talking about, you know, the 2007-2008 with Moss. But right now, with what we can deem are nobody players, no one knows them, you know, it's so impressive, over 300 yards. If we didn't have Philip Rivers on our fantasy team, I would be begging, please somebody give me him for fantasy. It's so exciting. I mean, I was jumping up and down at home just cheering, and it felt so good to be proud of something from Jacksonville.
To me, it was actually a game where, other than Blake, I think I might be screaming and pulling my hair out. Without that as the spark, the offensive line struggled, like you said.
Allowed six sacks, definitely took a step back.
Oh, absolutely. And to a team that hadn't been doing that well sacking either. So that's the other frustrating part. But I think Blake's shining through, and he is the reason that Jaguar fans still have hope. And it's the reason that there will, at least I don't expect to see any Jaguars at this Sunday's game. People are going there expecting to see touchdowns and more offensive production than I feel like we would have had otherwise. But since we interviewed Scobie last week, didn't you all think, oh my gosh, he predicted this? We were just talking about how great it was when he kicked that 59-yarder to win the game. I was like, this is it. I was yelling by myself in the living room, like, we talked to Scobie and we're the reason we're going to win
this game. I was kneeling on the floor of Dave and Buster's at the 1010XL watch party, and it took me about 10 minutes to get off the ground. Yeah, it was obviously, man, what a bummer. But you know what? We're going to get one eventually. All right, when we do return, we're going to stick with the Jags. We're 6 weeks in. Some more pleasant surprises on this team. I know that you're probably thinking to yourself, okay, what are you going to come up with? This team has obviously had a lot of struggles. Yes, they have. There's been some disappointments, a lot of disappointments, and we're going to hit on those. But we're going to take the Gus Bradley approach. We don't want to miss out on some of the good things that are starting to develop. So that's all coming up when we do return. Also, later on in the show, we're going to get to some of the stories around the NFL and what the heck is going on with certain players. Can anybody say Dallas Dillard's cologne underwear? What? Come on.
I just did.
I think I did. Helmets and Heels brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. More Jags talk when we do return.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Is that The Doors? That sounds like LA Woman.
I think it is.
Well done, Scott. Fantastic choice. I'll take The Doors any night. Welcome back to Helmets and Heels, brought to you each Tuesday by Underwood Jewelers. If you are looking for a fine piece of jewelry, be it an engagement ring, be it a necklace or earrings, a graduation gift, head to Underwood Jewelers. They're going to get you taken care of. All right, ladies. Most obvious statement of the year, that the biggest pleasant surprise for the Jaguars is the performance thus far of the rookie quarterback, Blake Bortles. I think everyone can universally agree that Bortles has far exceeded any expectations that we've had, especially considering how we saw him maybe practice in training camp and the questions of when were we going to see him and so forth.
I won that debate, by the way. Just needing to throw that back out there. The debate of whether we should start Chad Henne or Blake Bortles that we had.
Yeah, well, I'll be the first to admit that, I mean, for the longest time, I stuck by my guns and said, I don't think we're going to see Bortles start a game this season. I was completely wrong, but I'm kind of glad that I ended up being wrong on that. I'm okay with that. It's worked out all right. I know the Jags haven't won a game yet, but we see hope for the future, and that's the biggest thing. But I'm curious from each one of your perspective, and then I'll weigh in. What have been, for you, some other pleasant surprises, if any, that you've seen for the Jaguars this season besides Blake Bortles? Lauren?
For me, we talked a lot last year about how the defensive line could not create any pressure. The fact that we do have 19 sacks on the season so far, and we only had, that's only through six games, we only had 31 total last season entirely. So to me, that's definitely a bright spot. Clay Harbor, I think with the injury to Mercedes, and especially the fact that he's going to be out a while from now even, I think Clay Harbor's done well. And even before this past game with the 59-yard reception and the touchdown, I still thought he'd been playing well. So that was one I never expected. And then Hearnsey, undrafted rookie Allen Hearns out of Miami. Yes, he's had some drops. Yes, he's had some rookie, I would say, errors. But for the most part, I've been beyond impressed with his speed, his ability, and just overall the fact that it seems like he's really gotten to know the offense quite well, especially, you know, having worked with Jed Fish before. But still, I've been impressed. So, and in general, rookie receivers, I guess you could put them in there, but I'm going to select number 88, and those are mine.
Deemer?
Seeing how you took all of mine.
I'm so glad.
I thought this
first.
Was one pleasant surprise, and Lauren turns it into, let me tell you all of mine. I had to go and fish out another one. So, you're not, I mean, surprised by him, and I know he's done very well, but I will say that Paul Posluszny has sparked the defense, if there is a spark in the defense at all, like you said, with pass rushing, but he already has 42 tackles on this season and 122 last year. I mean, that's impressive for him. That's awesome.
And he was third in the NFL last year.
Yeah. It's for me, it's refreshing, and I guess it's surprising because you don't expect somebody to keep up, you know, with what they did the year before. So I will say Paul Posluszny.
Good.
For me, I'd go with the defense, too. I think I read somewhere that the sack total for this year is 19, as you said, so far. Mm-hmm. And a franchise record was set in 99 with 22 sacks through six games. So I think that we're well on our way for having a significant improvement on the defense. And I want to say also the second half adjustments. I've seen a lot of improvement this season so far with that, especially the last game against the Titans. I think we only allowed 6 points in the second half. So it's really, to me, when you make your second half adjustments, that's one of the most important aspects of the game, because you've seen what they're going to throw at you and you see what you're going to throw at them. And once you make those adjustments, that's when you really winners are determined. Winners and losers are determined on the field. And so that for me is really the surprising moment.
Yeah, the sack total definitely stood out for me as well. 19, you got to be happy. And you're getting them from multiple players. It's not just one guy. I mean, you're getting pressure from Chris Clemons. You're getting pressure from Andre Branch.
Ryan Davis.
Ryan Davis. Other guys are making plays. So it's more spread around. So it shows you that guys are stepping up. I've said the past few weeks, I think that the front four are getting overshadowed by how bad the defense has been as a whole. I do think that the front four are playing a little bit better than maybe people recognize or give them some credit for. It just kind of gets lost that the Jaguars for a while ranked 32nd in both defending the run and the pass. I think they've improved a little bit, but they're still last in the league, bottom of the league for almost every statistical category. But one thing I'll say on the offensive side of the ball, two things that I'll point out. Allen Robinson, I think, has been pretty good for a rookie receiver. He's averaging a little over 10 yards per catch, and he and Bortles have developed this nice little rapport. I think you want to see more consistency. I think you want to see more production, but I think considering the youth on this offense and that you've got a rookie quarterback throwing to a lot of rookie receivers, some rookies in pass protection, I'm okay with what's developing as far as Bortles and Allen Robinson getting on the same page.
Well, he had the most snaps yet this past Sunday, so obviously they're starting to believe in him too. And of course, with his injury, the fact that he missed kind of off season and training camp, it is good that he's already kind of up to the speed of the other ones, because he didn't have the
right.
Same
that, I mean, that seems to be
practices. Yeah,
that Allen Robinson seems to be right now a little bit of a comfort for Blake Bortles, and I'm fine with getting these rookies early on the same page, because what have we all talked about? How these young guys are going to continue to grow together. So get on the same page early and often and let that rapport develop. One thing I'll also point out, look, we know that Denard Robinson was awful last year. Even he'll say that. I mean, I've talked to him about that before. And whenever I referenced last year, he was just like, yeah, it wasn't good. I mean, it was really tough for me. I had a lot on my plate. I was trying to be so good at everything that I struggled at everything. But now that they've really simplified the game plan and kind of put him in a set role, I think that's really helped him out. I look at Denard's game logs, and the thing that I key in on is fumbles. He has not fumbled the ball yet this season. And I think that shows, I know, knock on wood, I don't want to jinx Denard, but I think that shows that all the hard work that he put in during the offseason to work on ball security is paying off. Look, I know the Jags are still struggling to establish the run. They're still trying to find something to work on the ground. And Denard, Yeah, he had 33 yards against Indy. He had 25 yards against San Diego. Look, that's not going to get it done. That's not enough. It's not going to get it done. But I do think that Denard is taking steps forward in the right direction. So I'll point those things out as positive. So we've got a few things. We've got a few silver linings to what has been so far kind of a big thunderstorm this season.
Well, in the center, too, I think rookie Luke Boanko is, you know, not being mentioned every week as far as high snaps or bad snaps. And that's a good thing. You don't really want to talk about the center. So if you're really wanting to look at it position by position, I thought about throwing him in there too, but I didn't want to have 17.
All right. The disappointments. There's gonna be a lot of them. All right, Lauren, go ahead and list off whatever it is you've
got over
mine.
I'm going to try and not steal Donna's, which I have not read. I'm going to start with the most blatantly obvious one, and that's the fact that we are winless. That's just going to go. I really never expected that. When we were in the first half against Philadelphia, I sat there with my friend Megan's husband, Dan, and we were like, we're going to be 2-0, and we're going to have, you know, just an amazing season. And we were already, you know, beating the Redskins, and it was all over. We were going to the playoffs. So that was the fact that we have not been able to celebrate a single victory. That's obviously a disappointment. The lack of a run game, I'm not going to spend much time on that. We've talked about it enough. We've given up 27 sacks. That's horrendous. No quarterback can succeed without enough time. And obviously, you could say some of those are on whether it was Chad Henne before or Blake Bortles now, either one. The fact for me, the biggest one is the secondary. The wide open receivers and tight ends.
Getting burned on explosive plays.
It's killing us, and we can't overcome that. And then the turnover margin, last but not least for me, the fact that we're -8, we're a team that doesn't maybe have as many playmakers as we've talked about, and you've got to be in the positive category on that one. So those are mine. I hope I did not steal a single one from you.
No, ma'am, you did not. I would say that my disappointment, and I know that the offense has had its ups and downs with switching out players, the quarterback, Gerhardt hurt, the running position, but I have to say the play calling. I get so frustrated with what they do on third downs, what they do in the red zone, which they can I can't say they can never because they improved that last week, but the play calling for offense just boggles my mind sometime, and I have no idea why they throw Denard, in there for a third and, long, and I'm like, what? I don't understand. So because I don't understand it, it frustrates me. So that's what is disappointing to me this year.
Well, I think I saw on TV that we had the fewest trips to the red zone this season.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, you're not going to, score many points and therefore win games if you can't at least get down there.
And I get that we have, the highest number of rookies on the offense.
Right. 17 in the past 2 years
that
we've drafted, and I think 11 of them started last week.
I mean, there's only so much blame that you can put. Well, they're rookies. Well, they're in the NFL, so they should be good enough to play NFL football.
No
so,
excuses.
Hey, and the players say that themselves.
Right.
This is no mismatches anymore. Right. We're all professionals. We're all here for a reason, because we should be good enough to play in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm,
so you can't make that excuse any longer.
Yeah, there is a difference, but it shouldn't be as big as it has been.
All right, Blythe, what about you?
For me, a lot of the same thing as Lauren. I would say definitely the turnover margin. If you don't win the turnover battle, you're not going to win the game. One of the things that I did think was a little, it's like a pro and a con, is how much we've lost by from each game. I read a stat the other day that said in the first game we lost by 31 points, the second the 27 by 27 points, then 19, then 8, and last week 2. So it is getting a little
bit
better.
The point differential is
we're getting
slowly improving.
But it obviously not winning a game is the biggest stress. And it obviously, if you don't win a game, it puts a big magnifying glass on a lot of other aspects on the team. I would just say everybody's just playing average. Everybody but Blake Bortles is playing average, and we cannot play average. We cannot not win the turnover battle and expect to win the game.
Yeah, average doesn't win you games, and especially, I mean, these players, and Gus has said it before, there's such a small margin for error. You have to be your best every week. One more thing that I'll add in there, just the injuries are disappointing. You know, a guy like Mercedes Lewis, who has now missed multiple weeks, a guy like Cecil, who can't stay on the field, I'm not disappointed in those guys. I'm disappointed in the situations that they're facing, especially Cecil being in a contract year. You know, what a value he is to this team as far as a leader. What a value he can be out on the field.
And he showed it Sunday, other than the fumble.
Right. And Mercedes, who I really thought was in a good position to have a great year. Think about what a weapon he could be for Blake Bortles, and how much they could use Mercedes as a blocking tight end with all the woes of this offensive line. So, you know, not being able to establish the run, some of the issues with giving up explosive plays, definitely. And I'll add the linebacking core. I have been disappointed in the linebacking core. I don't necessarily think it's been that great of a season for Paul Posluszny so far. I understand that he's leading the team in tackles, but I think, I will say, I do think that he's had to kind of compensate for what they've been trying to work around him. They still don't have an answer at that auto position. Telvin Smith, I think, has shown a lot of upside, but he is still very, very raw. So I think, you know, linebacker, that's something we've been talking about for a while. Are they going to address it in free agency? Are they going to address it through the draft? You know, they've tried certain players and working different personnel in, but it just hasn't seemed to really be a combination. So
yeah,
maybe
we heard about the auto position a lot before the season started.
Right. And maybe I'm being a little too hard on Posluszny. I do think that he is the rock of that defense, and I do think that he is obviously the best linebacker that they have out on the field. I mean, that's obvious. But I think it's just tough when he's trying to work with what he's got around him, and it's not really working out so far this season. Let's hear from some of you. Let's take some of your calls, maybe on things that you've either been pleasantly surprised on or disappointed. Or, you know what, just send us your tweets as well. You can send it to Helmets and Heels. You can send it to at Jess Blaylock.
At 1010XL Lauren.
At Football Show.
At Blythe Brum.
So we want to hear from you. When we do return, we're going to grade each position group. Offense, defense, special teams, overall. What do we think are the grades that they have earned so far? Also, we'll take a look at some other stories around the league and the ridiculousness that has taken place in the National Football League. That is all coming up when we do return on Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. You are listening to 1010XL 92.5 FM. Close enough. Welcome back to Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. We talked about some of our pleasant surprises with the Jags, also some of our biggest disappointments. Couple of you are weighing in. Lauren, I think you have a few tweets.
I sure do.
What are the people saying?
At Jax Vegas, aka Greg, said a pro, Clay Harbor, con, inability to run the ball. I think those are pretty much in line with what I said. So, Greg, you just stole my thoughts.
Yeah, and that's what I got from Kid Silence at Loud Silence CLO. Toby Gerhart had high hopes for him before the season. Now, I will weigh in on that one really quickly because I understand people's frustrations with the lack of a run game and what Toby Gerhart, you know, was brought in here to do. And Gerhart himself has admitted what he was brought in to do. He's not doing it yet. He understands that what has taken place so far is nowhere near good enough. The two things that I will say, number one, again, I think the offensive line is playing a little bit better, even though they took a step back this past Sunday. But the holes are still not always there. And I know Gerhart didn't play this past Sunday, but leading up to this past week, I don't know if there's always been the running lanes for Toby to hit the gaps and hit the holes. And secondly, he has been playing injured all season. And maybe we don't know the extent of that ankle injury fully, but the horse collar tackle from week one that could have been a much more disastrous injury than what it ended up being. But he has been running on a bad ankle, and he has said himself the burst is not there right now. So I still feel like even though there's disappointment right now when it comes to Toby Gerhart, jury is still out a little on what he can possibly do.
Well, we get to spend some time with him, and I can guarantee every single Jaguar fan who may be frustrated that he is far more frustrated than you are. Just like people with Cecil Shorts, I guarantee Cecil right. is always more conscientious about taking care of his injury and focused on getting healthy. He does not want to sit out. And so fans who, if they ever think that these players are going, oh man, I have to miss the game and that's it, that is totally not the case. And I feel bad for the ones who do suffer kind of the chronic injuries, because if you've ever had one yourself, you know that you're not the same. And it does kind of fatigue you, you know, quicker than you would be without, if you just have a minor injury here or there. So I do kind of feel bad for them.
And those are the two players whose faces I've really seen it on when I've been into the locker room and talking to them. I mean, the disappointment, it's so evident. All right, ladies, let's take a look at offense, defense, special teams, and just talk about a couple of the position groups. I don't think anyone is going to disagree. F on the run game.
Yeah.
Running backs.
It's like 3.4 average for each player, for each one.
Mm-hmm. Right. So an F for running game. Offensive line.
D plus. Yeah.
All right. So a D.
I would say it would have been an F, but Bortles is making them look, I would think, much better, because he can get that out much quicker.
Wide receivers.
Sunday frustrated me. Receivers, I'll give a B to.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd give him more like a C.
There's been some drops.
I'm with a C.
Yeah, C as well for me. It's
going to take a lot to get a B.
Missed routes or falling down. They got to improve.
Tight ends?
I think it's surprising.
Yeah, I'll go B minus.
Because you don't really expect much out of them. I mean, you're signing a guy off the practice squad from the Saints. Like, you got
that's, yeah, I would say, right. Nick Jacobs played well when he started, and Clay Harbor has been impressive. But before the last 2 weeks, they weren't great. So I'll go B minus.
All right.
C.
All right. We'll say B slash C. Quarterback.
Bortles, that's what we're talking about, I'm guessing. Not Henny, right? Henny gets an F.
Yeah, well
it's okay. A season performance, right? So it's both.
You know, I'm going to give him a B.
A B?
I'd give
Bortles a B.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so overall, we're averaging an F, a D, a C, and a B.
That's probably about right.
Yeah. But I would say offense as
a
whole.
At least scored two touchdowns.
I'd say this whole team as a whole, a C.
A C.
Look, I mean, we're 37.
They're winless.
We're 37%.
How do they get a C?
That's because that's supposed to be average.
We're 37% for third downs. That's ridiculous. You know, 78%. We've had 78 attempts and only made it in there 29 times, or made a third down 29 times. That's
yeah, but
just,
Bortles has a 71% accuracy rate on third downs.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was just that game or this whole season.
How do you think they got
He's
a 78%
game
or a 37? I don't know, but it's just
statistically the team is not good. We could rate them an F. I think what our job is to do is to look at it and say, especially in the last couple games, have we seen the team improve once we have seen a different quarterback? Because that's really what this season to me is going to be about, is the development of Blake Bortles. We're obviously not making it into the playoffs. We're obviously probably not even going to have a winning season at this point. So that's really what we're grading at this point, is how does the team look surrounding the hopefully mm-hmm. franchise quarterback.
If I was filling out a progress report, I would probably say D plus slash C minus, mm-hmm. knowing that it's been bad, but there's some potential.
It's getting better.
It is getting better.
But did any of y'all have progress reports that looked like that one when you were in school?
No, I've been Yikes. Grounded for a year.
I know, maybe my freshman year in high school when I was too busy trying to make new friends and whatever. Let's get to the defense. Defensive line.
I'll go C plus.
I'm looking at like all the stats right now, and it's just hard to even go
Their
into the C's.
Good.
It's just... Yeah, the sacks are nice. Okay. Good job.
She said sack.
All right, are we going C, Blythe?
I'll go B minus. For the defensive line, I'll go B minus.
Okay.
Secondary, not so
I'm
much.
Harsh. I'm a
maybe
harsh
an average, maybe an average of a C plus. Linebackers, D at best.
D minus.
Yeah. The plus, if you give one, goes to Paul. Puzzlesny, that's
no,
it.
No, we're going D. Even Puzzlesny can't save it. Secondary.
No.
F.
No, yes.
Gosh. She said no. All she said was no. No. She's giving them
incomplete.
An incomplete.
Next.
Oh, no. All right. That averages out to about a solid D. Special teams.
Mm. And see, to me, if, I don't know if we can say the defense is worse than the offense. I think they're pretty close. But special teams, you know, besides the fact that we've had two blocked kicks, I don't think there's been anything horrible. I mean, Brian Unger can freaking punt that ball.
Second best in the NFL right now.
Yeah, so I'll give the special teams actually a C+.
What about coverage, though?
Yeah.
That's been a little bit of an issue. Shaky. And returns.
That's what I look at. When you say special teams, I don't think – I mean, Scobie and Unger are in their own – you know, we know they're good.
Yeah,
we know they're good. We know they're good. The return game is not as elite as I would like it to be.
I think they started behind the 20-yard line every single drive last week,
and that's not where you want.
You are not winning that field position battle right now. So, are we going with a C?
D.
If Unger isn't included, it's
but he has to be because special teams encompasses the punter.
So yeah, he bumps it up to a C.
One of the best punters in the NFL. That's a win.
It's your third round pick.
And you know,
freaking better be.
if special teams can get a lot better, you know, based off of I don't know what how, but I want them to. Then maybe we can, you know, flip the field a little bit or create some situations where it is going to put our offense into a little bit better of a position. I mean, special teams are a big deal. As much as we kind of giggle about kickers and punters not, you know, having to kind of prove their worth.
No, it is. Really, especially is for a young team. Especially for an offense that is starting six rookies. You need as short of a field as possible, which is why forcing turnovers is so important, too.
And that's why we graded them poorly, too.
You got to get in short field situations.
I mean, you saw how many college and NFL games were, you know, what happened over the weekend just by the kicks at the end of the game. You know, it wasn't just Jacksonville that was affected.
Could have been ours with that game-winning highlight.
All right, this progress report needs to be signed by all of their parents. I'm going to need this signed
and
returned.
To their uniform.
Yeah. Give them an overall,
But it can get better.
It can. This isn't the report card, guys.
No.
Just a progress report. There is room for improvement. Can we talk about, though, another kind of in the NFL. There are two things I think that should never happen in the NFL. Number one, you should never get a DUI because the NFL provides a car service for any player that needs a ride.
Lucky. Agreed.
Number two, you should never shoplift when you are making an NFL paycheck. Joseph Randall, seriously? For those of you who don't know, one of the Cowboys' reserve running backs, Joseph Randall, was arrested, what was it, late last night in a Dallas mall, I think, for shoplifting cologne and underwear.
Some expensive underwear,
from
too.
A Dillard's.
Do we know what kind of cologne and what kind of underwear?
I think it's actually called Guilty. I've seen that everywhere.
Are you serious?
Guilty cologne.
No way.
Is there like a challenge?
I mean, maybe
the brand.
I mean, that
there
could...
is no way it's called Guilty.
Did they pay him to do that?
Right. I mean, that's sparking now. Free
it's Gucci.
Quote, when you feel like shoplifting cologne,
it's Gucci.
Come after our brand.
Gucci brand.
Guilty
and
by Calvin Klein.
Guilty.
Yep.
All
Gucci
right.
brand.
Gucci
it's
Guilty.
Guilty. And apparently, it was Polo underwear. I guess.
Well,
Polo?
Now those are kind of expensive. Now I understand a little bit
Very
more.
Expensive.
No, I don't understand. My goodness.
Whatever. I mean, there's a lot of things that NFL players shouldn't do, but one of them is just
stupid.
I remember
seriously, this is where my common sense test would really come into
exactly.
effect.
I remember being in high school, and I would look around, and my friends always had some, not close friends, but some associates had...
You had associates?
Sure.
At that age?
Absolutely. Acquaintances.
The other clique.
Friends of a friend. They always had brand new stuff, and I couldn't figure out... where, like, I kept asking them, like, your parents just take you shopping all the time? And finally, like, months later, I figured out that they'd been shoplifting for months. And I remember feeling so guilty for them. I mean, how do you, like, those people that you're stealing from are just as, you know, needy as you are. You're stealing from the manufacturer, the distributor, the clerk, you know, the cashier, everybody. How can you do that to people?
It's a selfish act.
Ugh, I hate it.
No common sense.
What about anything else you've seen around the NFL? Oh, I didn't think.
Yeah. How about Johnny Manziel?
I was just about to say.
My favorite person. I mean, what is it? Free girly? Yeah. Hashtag free girly?
Yeah. Free girly when Todd Gurley, Georgia, has suspended him indefinitely while the NCAA, I think, potentially investigates an autograph scandal. Johnny Manziel, maybe that's not the smartest thing, seeing as how you were potentially linked to an autograph scandal and sat a half out against Rice. Come on, whatever. But no, I don't think that's the smartest move in the world. Johnny Manziel, just stay out of it for a while.
He was out. I haven't heard from him. I was so happy. There's no Johnny bag, no nothing. It was
Johnny
great.
Bag, that's still the best.
Can't we tweet Free Manziel? Because last time I checked, he has been benched and has not won the starting job at all.
I am Brian happy.
Hoyer. You're going to see Brian Hoyer.
I'd play the devil's advocate here in saying that Gurley shouldn't have been punished at all for essentially making money off of his name, something that's going to be legal in the NCAA next year. I think it's a complete hypocrisy that the fact that he can't even prove.
Well, and nothing's even come out yet, and Georgia's already proactively suspended him. So if he ends up getting cleared and it costs him the Heisman, I think that actually is a really pretty tragic situation.
It's only going to hurt Georgia. It's not going to hurt Gurley, because his draft stock isn't going to be impacted at all, and especially with this rule is going to be changed next year. I mean,
you know what? Maybe further down the road we'll have to discuss whether or not we could see Todd Gurley ending up in Jacksonville.
I'll welcome him
with
open arms.
We'll see. We'll see. All right. When we do return, we're going to pick a couple of games against the spread. That's going to include the Jaguars matchup with Cleveland this coming Sunday. We'll also check in with Richard Miller and see what he's got coming up on Miller on Sports. This is Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. This is 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Okay, well, I've got a new favorite tweet of the night.
Let's hear
it. It comes from Sharon, at Sharon_in_Jax.
What up, Sharon?
Sharon and Jax.
Great show tonight. Slightly off topic, but can we talk about what Blake was wearing after the game on Sunday? Blythe, what was Blake wearing after the game on Sunday?
I think it was a very nice plaid jacket.
Blythe, why are you blushing?
No one's blushing. This is radio.
Like a suit jacket, I'm guessing. Button down.
Hey, there's a lot of guys that look very good in a suit, and a lot of these players know how to dress, so I'm sure Blake was looking pretty good. But a plaid jacket? I don't know. Yeah, that can work, right?
Y'all are still dressing me for Thursday night, right?
I gotta see what kind of plaid, you know.
I'm a fan of plaid as a Southern girl.
It's not John.
I like seeing plaid on a guy.
It's not John Daly plaid, right?
Ooh. Are you a bow tie fan, Blythe?
Yes,
me too.
Huge bow tie fan.
Blaylock Murph, no. y'all are originally Boston-ish.
No,
even
no
though
bow tie.
You were born and raised here, Blaylock, your family's Northern. So
yes.
Are you a bow tie fan?
I like bow ties.
All right, 3-1 on the bow ties.
All right, let's pick a couple games against the spread. I would like to say that I don't know if I was necessarily right, but I did pick Miami to cover the spread against Green Bay.
And I think you were right. I'm going to go with you got all three games that we
picked
last week.
Yeah, come back. Like the Jags, I'm slowly making progress in the picks each and every week.
But now you've won. By the way, our picks are brought to you by Kitchen and Flooring Concepts. Go visit them in their gorgeous showroom right across from the Regal Movie Theaters on Phillips Highway. They are fantastic, and I get to see them Sunday while tailgating. I'm very excited.
So, picking against the spread,
let's
Miami will be in town next week. And they are playing Chicago this week. Miami is getting 4 points already. Jessica.
I'll take Chicago in that one.
I already see Blythe. Blythe, go ahead.
Chicago all day. I think that one game we saw a flash from Tannehill only because he was pissed off because his coach called him out, but I don't think he's going to be able to repeat that.
Lauren?
The Bears looked good on Sunday. I think they won 27-13 over the Falcons. Jay Cutler played well. Yeah, give me the Bears. Donna, it's up to you. Is it a wash?
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement with that one. And all right, so Jack's at home. Cleveland comes into town. Johnny Football. So-called.
On the bench.
Brian Hoyer, my weird athlete crush. I still don't get that one, but I think he's adorable.
Jacksonville is being spotted 6 points. 6 points, not a whole lot.
No, not a whole lot.
Interesting game. Lauren?
You know what? I'm going to take the Jags in this one and say that even if we lose, it's only going to be by a field goal. I think we're poised for maybe not the run game to get going, but hopefully. And I think we are finally going to see some serious defensive line action, and they're going to pressure Jessica Blaylock's man crush on Brian Hoyer.
Jess, I already put you down for Jags.
Okay, thank you. I was going to say, when
comment?
We win on Sunday.
Yeah.
No comment. Blythe.
I think the Jags win. I pick them again. But I do think that they win 20-17 is what I'm going to go with. Cleveland does have a strong rushing game. I think they're third in the league. But I think this is the game that we get our rushing game going. So hopefully.
I sure hope so. I'm expecting Toby Gerhardt to be back. Hopefully he'll be completely healthy so we can get the ground game going and get the first win of the season. My goodness.
Win at home, baby.
It's been too long.
All right, D-Murph.
I have to say that last week was the first time I picked them since week one, and they covered the spread for me. So thank you, Jacksonville. But you know what? With the point differential that that Blythe has been giving us, that's been going up and up, and we've been closer to each game,